God has created man to be totally dependent on him. And what went wrong in creation was the moment that man decided that they would decide to do it on their own. And when man decided to live life on their own, then they started to die, even though God had not required their breath of them. But death entered by the last Adam sin. Death entered the world. And because of that, we have toil, we have strife, we have the sweat of our brow, we have labor, we have the curse in the world, and so on. It's that one act of independence, telling God, thanks for the breath, thanks for the trees that give me fruit, but I really can do this on my own. That's what Adam and Eve said, basically. We don't need to be dependent upon your breath. But folks, when we were created anew by the second Adam, who became a life-giving spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, what entered into us was the breath of the eternal God again. And we became born again, and we became a new creation. We were made again with all of the ability to take the breath of God and live. And this is how we live from moment to moment as Christians. Christians no longer depend on this world, but they look to their Maker. They look to the Lord in total dependence. Their center has changed. Their life source has changed. Their provision has changed. And we look to the Lord for the next breath, the next thought, the next thing that we need to learn, the next thing that we need to go on in, the next piece of food, the next drink of water that we take. We learn to live dependent upon God. And that's how the new life, the new creation life, takes the ascendancy within us, and we come back to the purpose for which we were brought here in the first place. The definition of sin is like not what we think. The definition of sin for many is lying, stealing, adultery, fornication, drunkenness, and you can name them all. You know, we're good at that as a church. We're good at having the list and applying them to certain people. But actually, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 tells us that for all have sinned, and what did they do? They fell short of the glory of God. That is the real definition of sin. So when Adam and Eve decided that they didn't need God and need to obey his voice and receive from him the very next thing that would go into their mouth or their next breath, when Adam and Eve decided to want to become like a God and know all knowledge when they weren't ready for it yet, they were immature. They were born innocent. They were born immature. They were born complete as God's creation, and he said it's very good, and he loved us from the beginning, but we weren't mature yet when Adam was born. Adam and Eve were not mature. They had to live life a little longer. They had to grow in the knowledge of God. They had to draw close and walk with their God and know, and he would teach them what they were to learn. But instead, they decided to learn at a different tree, to get their learning from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They weren't ready for that yet. They couldn't handle that. And so God had told them, no, don't eat of that tree. God would have taught them how to discern good and evil. God would have taught them all the things. But he wanted to teach them. He wanted to be their source. He wanted to be their life. But they made a wrong turn somewhere and got off the track. And then they just received God's gifts and lived their life. Now, the object of God was so that they would reflect his glory. But they fell short of that. They didn't get to do that. But God was not going to be denied. His plan, his purpose. He brought Jesus Christ into the world that glory could be restored to man. That glory that he had prepared for man and God to walk in together, that communion that God had prepared for them to walk in together could be totally restored, and that man would realize that his next breath comes straight from God. And we look to the Lord for the breath. We look to the Lord for everything. Now, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about this. And let's just go to, for one scripture, Psalm 104. There's nothing so glorious as when something that is created is used for the purpose for which it is created. And I used to tell my children, guess what, children? That chair is not a ladder. That chair was meant for you to sit on. And that chair is glorious when it's being sat on because it's fulfilled. It's not to stand on and to help you get somewhere where you're probably not supposed to go. My sister and I used to use all kinds of instruments like chairs and stools, even piled up on one another, to get where things that we wanted to get that were put away and hidden from us, such as chocolates at Christmas time. And I shudder to think what would have happened had our great invention of pile of furniture would have failed. We would have fallen straight down the basement stairs. But it never happened. We did get our chocolates, but they weren't really ours yet. We took them. Well, but we weren't using it for what it was meant for. So God has created us to be vessels of his glory. He has called us to obtain the glory of God. What does that mean? Well, that means that we are called to flow in the realm with God where he intended us to be created, and for the purpose to show his character, the weight of his person and being to all of the nations of the world. That is who we are. We are to be the very expression of God, the glory of God to fill us and flow through us. We are called to be that vessel. Even when we go to the store to pick up a bag of milk, we are still that vessel of glory walking into that store. And we are fulfilled when we take in his breath and use that breath to fulfill that purpose. That's where we find our fulfillment. That's where we find our joy. And I believe that that is why this generation seems so sad, so depressed, so down, so aimless. It's because they're using the breath that God gave them to reflect the glory of God to satisfy their own fleshly desires. And that is a one-way street that is so dead that it's not funny. And many are killing themselves because they get the things that they want, and when they get there, it's totally empty. It's not fulfilling. They live for themselves. And we as Christians, when we live for ourselves, we become depressed and empty. But that very next breath that you're about to take is to be used to fulfill the purpose for which you were born, and that is to reflect His image, to reflect who He is. Now, in Psalm 104, verse 27 and verse 28, it says that all this creation, it says the creeping things and the in the sea and all these things that God made, these wait all upon thee, that you may give them their food in due season. Creation itself waits on God to be fed. That thou givest them, they gather. And you open your hand, and they are filled with good. So the very things that creation needs, they receive right from the hand of God. And yet we, as humans, we want to make our own way. Let's take a lesson from the creation that is all around us. It says in verse 29, you hide your face. They are troubled. You take away their breath, and they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, and very often in the Old Testament, that word spirit means breath. In the Greek, it's the word pneuma. It's the breath, the very breath from God. You send forth your spirit, and they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever, for the Lord shall rejoice in His works. So creation has learned to be dependent upon God. And when man gets in there and messes it up, it's messed up. Because we are trying to do it. We're trying to rule and reign instead of taking the way God wants us to do it. That's why in our society it's crazy. People would put more emphasis on hugging trees and saving environments than they do on babies in the womb. It's all backwards. It's all upside down. It's because man has gotten in there and decided to subdue the earth and rule and reign in the earth the way they want to instead of the way God wanted them to. And if you want to see the glory of God, what it means is that you become dependent on His very breath, dependent on Him, dependent on His knowledge, dependent on His food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So this is why we were created, to be totally dependent on Him and to share in the communion that situation would create. You know, You find when you're in a position of dependency, you are in a position of relationship, aren't you?